You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon, and once again, I am the host of Locked On Wolves, and we are officially within a week of Media Day and the start of training camp. When you're listening to this now, we're 6 days out from Media Day, training camp starting the following day on Tuesday, October 1st, down in Mankato at Minnesota State University in Mankato, of course, the alma mater and hometown of Glenn Taylor, Timberwolves owner. So the Wolves will be there for a couple of days next week following Media Day, and we'll be on to some real actual basketball news, training camp reports, good coverage of that nature that Timberwolves.com usually gives us that we can discuss here at length as we get geared up for the season. Today, we're going to talk a lot about, a smattering of Wolves notes. It's surely one of the last of these types of podcasts that are sort of speculative in nature based on the snippets that we're getting about the team from the media in the lead up to actual basketball. We still don't have, of course, you know, this is kind of the calm before the storm. FIBA basketball is over. The players already had their trip to the Bahamas. There is not all that much going on right now, but things are about to get real. Things are about to really start happening. So we're going to talk through a few small items that kind of add up to a full podcast today, things that have happened over the past few days. We had a few official announcements that came down at the end of last week involving the staff and the front office. So we're going to talk about that here in a moment. We'll also touch on Gerson Rosas winning an award here recently. So that's certainly significant. Robert Covington is healthy, according to his posts on social media. And we'll talk about a former University of Minnesota Golden Gopher who signed a training camp deal with the Timberwolves and has doesn't really have much of a shot of making the active roster, but surely could be a part of the Iowa Wolves roster in the G League. So we'll spend a little bit of time on him, and then we'll finish with a bit of a synopsis of the John Krasinski of The Athletic, of his article about Gerson Rosas and what he learned when he was with the Houston Rockets searching for big name stars. We'll talk through kind of what the high points of that were and what that means for the Timberwolves moving forward and for Gerson Rosas specifically, and what my take is, at least on Rosas's approach to quote unquote big game hunting when it comes to free agency and trades. So first we'll talk through a few of the official announcements that the team made. Some of these were out in the media as long ago as I think it was May when some of these moves were initially reported, but the team is now confirming some additions that they've made to their coaching staff as well as the front office. Going to list here from the press release on the Timberwolves website when they finalize the coaching staff. I think the most significant names that will look the most familiar include a former Timberwolves player, Greg Steemsma, who of course graduated from the University of Wisconsin several years ago and spent, a summer and maybe two summers and a full season with the Timberwolves as part of his NBA career. He played in 76 games during the 2012-13 season and then actually did appear in some games with New Orleans the following year and finished his NBA career with a brief stint in Toronto. Steemsma played overseas for a few years and recently came back stateside. And his official title with the Timberwolves is going to be Player Development Associate. In the past, player development coaches a lot of times sat behind the bench and were typically recently retired players that were extremely hands-on. Under Tom Thibodeau, that was John Lucas III, who actually was a Timberwolves player under Tibbs in Tibbs' first year with the team, and then he retired and moved into coaching. This year, the Timberwolves, I think this has already officially been announced, but it was reported a while ago that the Wolves would be bringing in Kevin Burleson, a former Golden Gopher, and who's the brother of former NFL player Nate Burleson, who played for the Vikings. So Kevin Burleson joining the staff in the actual player development coach role this year. So the other interesting name, among others, so Kevin Hansen, who was with the Pelicans for 8 seasons, 5 as an assistant coach. He actually started as a player development coach. So the obvious parallel there is Anthony Davis was there for essentially Kevin Hansen's entire stint and with Hanson as player development and an assistant coach, clearly had a hand in that relationship. And there's long been parallels between Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns. So that's a little bit intriguing, and largely a successful organization over the past few years as well. So Hanson joining is interesting. The other notable one would be Max LaFever. Max LaFever was the director of player development at Texas Tech for the last three seasons. And prior to that was simply a grad assistant. As recently as 2015, was a grad assistant at Angelo State. And then continued with Chris Beard to Arkansas Little Rock, and then finally to Texas Tech. And so he was the director of play development for the last three seasons for Coach Beard at Texas Tech with the Red Raiders. The extremely obvious connection there is Jarrett Culver being drafted sixth overall by the Wolves this past summer. And LaFever obviously worked closely with Culver in Texas Tech the last couple of years. And it's interesting. I mean, it's been out there that the Wolves were looking at perhaps drafting Garland, who went number five to the Cavs in the draft when they did trade up to six, thinking the Cavs wouldn't take him because, of course, you know, they didn't need another guard to add to their young roster, but with Colin Sexton already on the team. But they did take him, and so the Wolves took Culver. We will never know 100% for sure, but it's fair to assume that Culver was not their number one target at number six. And who knows, maybe LaFever was also on their radar and it's a coincidence, but it seems unlikely. And there's got to be something to the Wolves trying to continue to cultivate a relationship that seems to have been successful, as Culver broke out last year, leading Texas Tech to the national championship game. And good on the Wolves for identifying what apparently was a strong relationship and trying to bring that to Minneapolis. We'll see if this is a calling card of the Rosas administration. You look at some of the other potential moves they've tried to make. There's a lot of synergy with Pablo Prigioni, the new offensive coordinator, having been with the Nets last year, working with Shabazz Napier, Travion Graham, and the Wolves also trying to bring D'Angelo Russell. So there would have been the connection there, as well as D'Angelo Russell's strong relationship with Karl Anthony Towns. Brian Gates, from who is a Team Canada assistant coach, a former Timberwolves assistant coach, has existing relationships with both Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, is back on the staff as an assistant coach. The Wolves also brought in David Vanterpool, the Portland Trail Blazers' former assistant, as their defensive coordinator. There aren't as many direct connections there. He would have worked with Shabazz Napier a couple of years ago, and I guess Jake Layman last year as well. So there are some, but I think that's more of a, you know, he's highly respected. The Wolves were also, you know, in play for a number of other players around the league who would have played with Vanterpool. They were looking to perhaps have, you know, they're going to want a defensive backcourt similar to the one that Vanterpool was able to pull off in Portland with a couple of guys, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who aren't known for their strong defense individually, but were part of some solid team defenses in Portland. So clearly there's patterns of past relationships and developing those past relationships to try and to further the team at the end of the day. And that's an impressive shift for Gerson Rosas, certainly different than perhaps some past regimes with the Timberwolves organization. So that's an extremely interesting move there that the Wolves have made, that they've finally announced. So good on the Wolves, and it'll be intriguing to find out what happens next there. Had one quick note from our friends at DoorDash. Long day at work or still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners here at Locked On Wolves can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code Locked On. That's $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. All right, the next couple of nuggets that we're going to talk about here are the Gerson Rosas Award. Quickly wanted to mention this because, I mean, hey, it's an award. Rosas was received the La Familia Latino Heritage Award that's given to leaders in a variety of industries who, and this is from the Timberwolves press release on the award, industry leaders who promote, support, and contribute to the community both in Minnesota and nationally. It's not the first award that Rosas has won since taking over in Minnesota. Clearly, he's been overqualified for a while to lead a front office at the NBA level. So kudos to him for winning yet another award. And, you know, he's getting a lot of attention, as, and rightfully so, I should say, as the first Latino to lead an NBA front office. So good on him for winning that award. Congratulations to Gerson and to his family. And, you know, excited to see what's next for him, and hopefully this offseason and the things he's done so far and will do here in the future are going to bear out his winning many of these awards and some of these expectations that are now out there. I did want to mention the Timberwolves signing. I alluded to this earlier. They signed Jordan Murphy to a training camp deal. Jordan Murphy, of course, is the all-time Big Ten rebounding leader and, of course, also the all-time rebounding leader at the University of Minnesota. Was a four-year player and played for the Timberwolves in Summer League this summer and was solid overall, all things considered, in his summer, pull up his summer stats here. So over the seven games, Murphy averaged 8.9 points a game and 4.9 rebounds, so roughly 9 points and five rebounds in just 14 minutes per game. I watched probably four and a half of the seven games this summer, and my scouting report on Murphy is probably about what I would have told you, you know, 5 months ago after the end of the Gophers season, which I watched virtually all the Gophers games the last few years. And I would have told you Jordan Murphy's undersized. He's got a nose for the ball and is one of those guys that simply, and this sounds cliche, but it's true. He knows how to rebound, knows how to find the ball, knows how to position himself, can actually score using his body from below the rim. He's athletic, but he isn't big and isn't athletic enough to go up for putback dunks over bigger players, for instance, or to completely avoid getting a shot blocked. But he's strong enough that he was able to score through contact in the Big Ten, was a good enough free throw shooter or he became a good enough free throw shooter over the course of his collegiate career to, you know, avoid a significant amount of intentional fouls from opposing teams. If he had an outside shot, he would probably be an NBA player because of how good he is at rebounding the ball. But he has a limited handle and extremely limited range. Was a poor college three-point shooter. Didn't have much of a jumper to speak of. So it's hard to imagine him, you know, suddenly gaining that skill when he didn't show much of it in college. That said, his rebounding skill is strong enough that one would expect him to have an opportunity to play overseas for a long time or play in the G League. It looks like Murphy's leaning the G League route, and that he'll probably do well there. I mean, based on his production in Summer League, which was largely against G League talent and some, you know, top flight draft picks, but not a whole lot in the way of veteran NBA players with experience at the NBA level who are going to stick. And Murphy at times looked overmatched, at other times looked exactly like the crafty, nose for the ball kind of player that Gophers fans saw over the last 4 years. So I would expect him to, you know, play hard in training camp, do a good job, and end up in Iowa, in Des Moines with the Iowa Wolves come the start of that season in October. I would expect him to stick in the G League here and have a really good year, potentially get a look in the NBA at some point, but he does seem like more of a, because of his size and his lack of shooting, should say lack of size and his lack of shooting ability, he probably is a G League type player moving forward. But congrats to him for getting a deal for hanging around the NBA and also with his hometown team. Or at least the collegiate team that his alma mater that he played for, the team in the same city. So, you know, congrats to him, and it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do, you know, in training camp and see if he gets any run in preseason games. Perhaps he will, if the Wolves are looking to rest guys like Robert Covington and Carl Anthony Towns, who I'm sure they will. Perhaps Murphy will get the opportunity to play a little bit in preseason, and that would be fun. I mentioned Covington. I guess quickly we should cover. He posted on Instagram something to the effect of he's back and he's ready. It sure sounds like he's healthy and is going to be a full go here in training camp, which will be fun to say the least. It's been since December 31st since Covington was on the court in an NBA game when he was injured at New Orleans on New Year's Eve. Here's hoping that we'll get a glimpse as to how the Wolves plan to use him in the upcoming season. If he will be starting at the four, we don't know that. But Rosas alluded to that possibility, and Saunders certainly hasn't backed away from it when asked either. Or if he perhaps is going to play more at the three, and with Andrew Wiggins at the two and somebody like Noah Vonleh or Jordan Bell starting at the four, we don't know. But it'll be fun to find out, and we should get a sense pretty early on which direction the Timberwolves are leaning when it comes to Covington and the position that he'll be expected to play for most of the season. Last thing we're going to talk about today is the John Krasinski article on The Athletic. Obviously, The Athletic is a subscription-based site. I'm not going to just read verbatim what the article says, but the headline of John's article, and he does a great job, and has since his days at the Associated Press in the Twin Cities. But the headline of the article is how the big misses in Houston inform Gerson Rosas' ethos in Minnesota. Essentially, the article is a look at the Rockets and their, and if you don't know, Rosas was in the front office there for, I think it was 17 years, for most of that time was the right-hand man to Daryl Morey, who is still there. In charge of their basketball ops, of course. But basically it's about Rosas and the Rockets and Daryl Morey and the Rockets and their refusal to stop looking for talent, and not being afraid to turn over every stone. And in most cases, it was the obvious stones they were overturning. They were going after all potential free agents, the LeBron James, the Carmelo Anthony's, the Dwight Howard's more than once. Anybody that was hitting the free agent market or the trade market, they were going to go after, regardless of whether or not they had the cap space. They weren't afraid to upset the apple cart, if you will, with current players, and essentially would be willing to move anybody. As this last offseason was after Rosas left Houston and the Rockets traded Chris Paul and got back Russell Westbrook. I mean, they just signed Chris Paul to a massive extension last summer. No doubt had some buyer's remorse and were somehow still able to move it. But the Rockets are never afraid to churn their roster, and essentially have had, a new roster built around James Harden since they acquired him a few years ago from Oklahoma City. So the article is a look at that, that philosophy in Houston, with some clear cautioning that the Timberwolves won't be Houston North, as Rosas has said several times before. But the focus of the article is that Rosas isn't afraid to fail, and he knows that he's going to have to fail in free agency and fail in his attempts on the trade market in order to eventually land a second star and hopefully a third star to pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. The interesting point, I think, that I don't think should get lost in this article is that Houston failed far more times than they succeeded in landing stars. Now, they've been to the playoffs, I believe, every year. Every year, not every year under Morey, but I think it's like 15 out of the last 18 years or something like that. And they've been at the 500 mark or better. I believe it was every year. There's been a couple of years where the West was good enough that 500 wasn't good enough to make the postseason. But they're consistently a great team and yet still swung and missed quite a bit. They play in Texas. We shouldn't overlook the fact that in Texas and in Florida, there's no income tax, and that's a factor when it comes to recruiting players. They play in a big desirable market. I think it's the fourth largest market in the entire country, in terms of just overall market size and population. It's an attractive place to be, yet they swung and missed several times on many stars, both in the trade market and were spurned many times in free agency as well, but never stopped trying. And what I don't want to get lost is that the Timberwolves, obviously, they swung and missed pretty big with D'Angelo Russell this offseason. I'm sure they had some additional conversations for maybe some second-tier stars or guys that they were far less likely to get. And Wolves fans are used to being turned down. They're used to their team not even being in the conversation to recruit big-name players, which is why the Russell thing was somewhat surprising and really refreshing this summer. And sure, it was disappointing when the Wolves didn't get D'Angelo Russell and he ended up in Golden State, which I guess was kind of like salt in the wound. But the Timberwolves swung and they missed, but it's not like it's because they were a small market team or because of the cold weather city or any number of the things that have been used as excuses before and may cause Wolves fans to feel like their team doesn't have a shot in free agency. I mean, the Houston Rockets are swinging and missing. The New York Knicks haven't landed anybody of consequence in free agency. And at least this year, the Wolves did something that the Knicks typically don't do. The Wolves landed a bunch of guys on short, cheap deals to maintain as much cap flexibility as possible. The Knicks actually didn't do a bad job with that this summer, landing a bunch of guys on short deals. But the New York Knicks can't land people in the biggest city in the nation. The Los Angeles Lakers recently, outside of LeBron James, which is a weird caveat, I know, but outside of LeBron, haven't done a great job of landing free agents. Even this offseason, I guess, you know, you look at Kawhi Leonard going to Los Angeles Clippers, which still LA, but not necessarily wasn't an obvious choice just a couple of years ago for somebody like Kawhi Leonard to make that decision. But the moral of the story is that everybody's going to swing and miss before they land someone. And that may seem obvious, but Rosas really tries to drive that home in this article, in his conversations with John Krasinski, that Wolves fans can expect their team to swing and miss quite frequently. But the difference between that and the alternative from most of the last few years and most of the franchise's history is that at least they'll be swinging. And they'll be in the conversation for every big name that comes out there. And the Wolves are waiting and no doubt have plans in place to move some of the money that's on the books, whether it's Jeff Teague's expiring deal this year, if something were to come up. Gorgui Dieng has one more year after this season. And then obviously Andrew Wiggins has several years at max money, but those are all the biggest deals on the roster that are movable that they would be interested in moving. And no doubt Rosas has had conversations on each of those and has some plans in place if and when he's ready to pull the trigger. So the moral of the story is at some point the Wolves are going to strike gold, but at least they're going to be involved in the conversation. And it's going to take, as Rosas says in the article, multiple efforts is the phrase he uses. And eventually they're gonna get to where they need to go because of that effort and because of their willingness to try. And that sounds simple and it sounds like a consolation prize, but I don't know how much that's been true in the past of past regimes with the Timberwolves. So again, good on Gerson Rosas for being involved, for being in the conversation, and a good article by John Krasinski. If you have a subscription to The Athletic, head over there and read that article from about a week ago regarding Rosas and the Wolves' approach to the offseason. All right. Thanks for listening to Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to finish off. We've got a couple divisions left of over-unders with Kyle Dardy. We're going to knock out, and we are going to get to the Northwest Division, talk Timberwolves, as well as their divisional rivals, and see where we land on the over-under win totals there. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. And that's all we have today. We'll be back with over-unders here later in the week. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.